Welcome to another episode of the Pastor's Inbox on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. In our next three episodes, we're going to be talking about a plurality of eldership. We'll talk about how elders relate to one another. We'll talk about what the Bible teaches on this subject. And in the first of these conversations, we're just going to talk about the scriptural principle of having a plurality of elders. The title of this episode is Plurality in Eldership. So I have two questions, and I'll ask them at the same time and let you take it where you want to, Pastor Joe. Is it the biblical norm for churches to have a plurality of elders? And what do we mean by a plurality of elders? I suppose this is a three-part question. The third part is, can you demonstrate this teaching from Scripture?
Okay, I'll answer the first one first. Yes, I believe it is the biblical norm, I don't believe it's the norm in most churches today, but I believe it's the biblical norm for churches to have a plurality of elders. And I am convinced that it is scriptural. And I'll mention some of those scriptures later before I pass this along to Lee. Like many people, for the first several years of my ministry, I had no real idea that such a thing hardly existed, an idea of plurality of elders. I was raised, there's one pastor of the church, just like there's one captain of a ship. And I remember whenever in those days, my days of my early youth and ministry, whenever I'd hear about a church with more than one pastor, I rarely heard it, but if I did hear it, I would say to myself something like, wow, that's strange, but maybe it works for them. And if it works for them, then that's okay. Around the age of 30, I was introduced to a group of Reformed Baptist men, and therefore I was introduced to this teaching. And when I began to listen to them and I began to look at the scripture, I was actually taken aback with how prominent the teaching is in scripture. And then I began also to see what I believe is the beauty and the wisdom of Jesus Christ instituting not only the church, but a plurality of pastors, a plurality of elders. So what do we mean by that? And can we demonstrate the teaching from scripture? By plurality of elders, I mean more than one. That's what a plurality is. More than one pastor, two, three, four, five, but all of them meeting the biblical qualifications for elder, which are specified in passages like Titus chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, when I talk about a plurality of elders, I do not mean what is commonly practiced today. Today, we have almost three offices. You have pastor, elders, deacons. And the elders in many churches are just yes men for the one pastor who's leading. Many churches make a distinction between pastor and then the elders is almost like a second office under him. And then you have your deacons. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not what I believe the Bible teaches. I'm not speaking of a church having one pastor and then several elders who function under him in order to support him. I don't believe there are three classes of officers in the New Testament church. I believe there are two, and they are given. Our first scripture is Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including, here's your two, the overseers, plural, and the deacons, plural. But those are the two offices that I believe the Bible speaks of, and it doesn't speak of one overseer at Philippi, but plural, more than one. I believe that the terms elder, pastor, bishop are interchangeable in the New Testament, and all of them refer to one and the same office. Each elder having the same authority and all elders having mutual accountability. let me give a few more scriptures demonstrating that this is a scriptural thing. This is not just some weird doctrine that some cult came up with, although it may seem that way in the day in which we live. In Acts 14:23, we read when they, speaking, I think, of Paul and Silas, or maybe Paul and Barnabas at that point, when they had appointed elders, plural, for them in every church, singular, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. The word elders, I think it's presbyteros. I'm not a Greek scholar. Acts 20:17, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders, plural, of the church, singular. And he said to them in verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, episkopos, to shepherd or pastor the church of God. So those men whom Paul addressed from the church at Ephesus were called elders, overseers, and pastors or shepherds. The terms were used interchangeably. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. Here's another passage where we have all three of those words and they're used interchangeably to describe the same people. Every pastor is an elder, a bishop, and a shepherd. And churches in the New Testament had more than one of them. Titus 1 and 5, for this reason, I left you in Crete that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city. Now that says city, but I think it's likely that there was only one church per city, unlike the way things are in our day. James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders, plural, of the church, and they're to pray over him. Without going into a lot of detail, which I know my brother Lee could do a lot better than I could, I do think there's ample scriptural evidence been given here that they're for the plurality of elders in the church. I listened to a recent podcast on the Church and Family Life podcast where Brother Scott Brown and Jason Dome interviewed Alexander Strauch regarding his book entitled Biblical Eldership, An Urgent Call to Restore Biblical Church Leadership. And I love it that this idea is catching on because I believe it's a scriptural idea. And I love it when more and more churches begin to see the importance of a plurality of elders. But Lee, I'll let you say anything further on the subject that you'd like.
Well, you've given many of the verses, and yet you've not exhausted it, because there are others that show the same thing. You've got Paul and Barnabas, and they're sent to the church in Jerusalem to meet with the apostles and elders. Apostles means more than one apostle was there. And so, too, elders in that one church in Jerusalem, they had more than one elder. Hebrews 13 talks about in verse 7 to remember those plural who have the rule over you. And then later in verse 17, obey those who have the rule over you. In both these cases, and as well as to greet those who have the rule over you later in that chapter. It's always speaking of more than one. Similarly, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, to recognize those, plural, who labor among you. That's at that one church there in Thessalonica and are over you in the Lord, and to esteem them, plural very highly in love. And I'm sure we could bring other verses to bear as well. There's a great deal of scriptural evidence. And like you, Joe, I at one time, I never considered these things. My wife and I were converted in a Pentecostal church, and the whole matter of church government was run really kind of like whatever works. I guess it would have been modeled after maybe Methodism and Episcopalianism type thing with district superintendent and so forth. And having come into the doctrines of grace and seeing more about sola scriptura, and then I remember hearing of a church that had a more than one elder, and suddenly it dawned on me, well, why wouldn't you take your church government from Scripture? Of course, you know, and so all these verses, not all that we've looked at, but many of these verses coming to mind. Let me say, a church can be a church without any elders. When Paul and Barnabas there in Acts 14 that you referred to, Joe, were involved in the installing of elders, well, they were already churches before they had elders. And therefore, a church can be a church with only one elder. If it can be one without any, it can be with only one. And of course, it also is true to say that a church can only have as many elders as Christ himself gives. You don't want men who are not qualified, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, you referred to. So it's not, well, we got to have a X amount of elders, therefore it doesn't matter whether qualified or not, let's just put, no, you only have as many as the Holy Spirit makes overseers, as Christ gives to the church. But the biblical norm, surely, and what should be the desire and the prayer of a church is to have more than one elder. And in fact, so much is that the norm that many Reformed Baptist Church constitutions will require help from another eldership if you're only with one elder, a sole elder, as much as if you have no other elders. No, we need to be seeking aid from these others. Not every church constitution, I'm sure, but many at least do. And so with so much evidence in Scripture that plurality is the norm, it almost makes you wonder, why would anybody object to that? If it's because it's never been considered, you know, okay, fair enough. But if a church simply will not go along, well, why not? It should be demonstrated from Scripture. If a church will not go along because, well, this is not the way things are commonly done, again, it should be demonstrated from Scripture.
Yeah.
And especially that for the good and safety of each local church. Remember how Paul asked the question in 2 Corinthians 2 about who is sufficient for these things? Well, every pastor surely will recognize who is sufficient. Or let's draw from the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 4:9, about two are better than one. Well, that's true with life generally. Well, so this biblical pattern for pastors in New Testament churches. Amen. And we're rather to see it as God's goodness to his people. To his churches, certainly his goodness for those who are pastors to have someone to labor along with. How kind of the Lord to institute this, that more than one elder in his churches. And isn't that better for the church? Well, for the church's safety, for the pastor's safety, for the more effective labors of the pastor, there's everything to commend this biblical norm, but especially because it's the biblical norm. And it's not our church, it's Christ's church. We're not the head, he's the head. What is he appointed for us?
Amen.
General thoughts anyway.
Well, in this conversation, we've given the scriptural reasons for having a plurality of elders within a local congregation. In the next two episodes, we'll talk about how these elders relate to one another, although we've already alluded to this relation and this first conversation. If you have any questions about having a plurality of elders within a church, please submit your questions to pastorsinbox@cbtseminary.org. And until next time, we wish you peace. God bless.